The key is to be able to demonstrate that Lightning can provide an on-par user experience as fiat.
Discussing the ideas, the challenges, and the technology of the crypto economy. This is a crypto economy chat. What is up, crew? Welcome back to the show. This is the Crypto Economy Podcast, and I am your host, Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anyone else you know. And as promised, we have a really fun interview with Roy Scheinfeld from Breeze Technology. The Twitter tag for the Breeze wallet, if you have not played around with it yet, you're going to listen to this episode and you're going to want to play around with it. So I'm going to put the link to their Telegram, to the wallet, to their Twitter page, everything in the show notes. So if you actually go to anchor.fm/thecryptoeconomy and click on the episode, you'll be able to see all of that information. But this is the Breeze wallet. This is the Lightning app that I mentioned yesterday on the show. And I have just had a ton of fun with it. It's one of the Lightning apps that I'm just so excited to be able to play around with these. I've got Sats app now that just landed this morning. And then we've got the Lightning Labs, then Zap, and now Breeze, I think, are basically the main ones that I am messing around with at this point. And I am so excited to have Roy on the show. I'm so glad he was able to join us so that I could pick his brain about everything that they're doing with Breeze, because it was just such an interesting thing and it kind of hit out of nowhere. I had no idea that this was going to be around. And turns out he's been a Bitcoiner. He was a Bitcoin OG, essentially. Like, he's from way back in the day, and he's building some amazing tools. Just a heads up, though, there are a couple of little, they might seem like there's a little weird, couple of weird gaps or breaks in him talking, and it's because like three or four times during the conversation we lost connection for like a good solid 10 seconds of silence, and then had to kind of get back on track. So if you hear that, just know that that's all that is, and I've just tried to edit those out, and I think I hit them all, but if I missed one somehow, you know, my apologies. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into our conversation with Roy Scheinfeld from Breeze Tech, responsible for the Breeze Lightning Service. Awesome. Thank you for joining us. We have a really, really exciting interview today. I have gotten to play around with the Breeze wallet. I know you guys have heard me talk about this on the show, and we have the CEO of, is it Breeze Technology? Is that the name of the company?
Yes, it is.
Breeze Tech, and this is Roy Scheinfeld on the show, so we get to pick his brain about all things Breeze Wallet and Lightning today. I am very excited to have you on the show. Glad we finally got this organized and set up. Thank you for joining me, man.
Thank you, Guy. I'm super excited as well.
Yes, indeed. We started out, I read, it was like last week or 2 weeks ago, something around there. The lightning at the end of the tunnel, that article that you published all about the user experience challenges of lightning. Mm-hmm. And that's episode 259 for anybody who wanted to listen to that, or and it's got the link there if you wanted to check it out. That was really what, I don't even remember who it was that shared that with me, but that was basically my intro into what you guys are working on. And it got me immediately excited because you were basically talking about all the things that I had been wanting to hear talked about, because that is the big challenge of Lightning, you know, like getting the user experience down to pretty much as simple as you guys have got it in your wallet. I'm so jacked to talk about this, but before we get into it, why don't you give me your background, where you're coming from in this thing, and sort of how you got into Bitcoin in the first place.
So I've been a Bitcoin investor since 2013, actually, ever since I read the Satoshi Nakamoto white paper. And I've been following Bitcoin closely ever since 2013. Actually, I'm not coming from a crypto background. I'm a software engineer by training. Then I did a couple of product management roles in different companies. I founded a company called Harmony. It's an enterprise, the B2B collaboration company.
Okay,
And
yeah.
about a year and a half ago, actually, it's an interesting story. About a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with a Crohn disease.
Oh, no kidding.
No, I'm serious. And actually, it was a blessing because it got me to reflect on my life, on the value that I bring to people. And after I was done reflecting, I actually left my previous company, the company that I founded, and decided to go into the Bitcoin domain. And it was in conjunction with the release of the Lightning Network white paper back at the end of 2017. And when I read the Lightning Network white paper, I decided that there's an opportunity to do something with Lightning because I'm coming from a very technical background, but also from a user experience background. From a I'm a technical product manager at heart. And the complexity of Lightning Network, together with the desire and the passion to bring Bitcoin to be used by in everyday commerce, that together caused me to jump into the Bitcoin scene and to start something around Lightning Network. And that's when I founded Breeze together with two partners.
Awesome. Awesome. That's so you so you've been in since 2013. You've been a Bitcoin enthusiast for quite some time.
Yes.
What was it that kind of brought you there? Was it really the tech,
The tech.
or was it
Definitely the tech.
okay,
When you understand the
definitely.
tech, I used to look at, I heard about Bitcoin before, but it wasn't till I read the white paper and then I understood there's something real about the tech here. There's a game changer, and this can change reality for the better. And that's only then when I invested in Bitcoin. But for many years, I still think that Bitcoin needs to be used as a currency, not as only as a store of value, but also as a medium of exchange. And that's why I founded Breeze, because I think we can at least try and help Bitcoin get there.
Nice, nice. It's interesting too. Like usually, like somebody with a heavily technical background, I have to admit that it's really rare to find somebody who truly gets the like kind of the user experience side of it, because it's really hard when you do understand all the technical stuff to remember what it's like to look at the app or the software from a I have no idea perspective, you know, like
Exactly.
that new user who hits it very first. And Breeze is definitely one of those ones that's making that like dirt simple, and I love it. So
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge, right? I think where we saw in Breeze that we can bring value is because there are a lot of people currently that are doing great in this domain, in the Lightning Network domain, but they have a bottom-up approach to user experience. And where we're coming from, we're coming from a top-down approach. Actually, we want to look at what would the experience would be like for regular user, for a non-tech savvy user, and then build this product for them. But and this is, that this is a core value of us. We don't want to compromise on security, privacy, sovereignty, and so on.
exactly,
So we want to bring
exactly.
all the Bitcoin values to a very simple, usable, fun product.
Nice. Love it. Now, I have to ask, The block size debate. Did you ever, like, when I started into the whole block size debate, I have to admit that I went down the big block path for a short while before I hit like a couple of really key arguments that made me realize, okay, this might be a really bad technical decision. Was it ever really a big issue for you? Did you go down the, like, maybe Bitcoin Unlimited route for a little bit there? Or was it just when, because the Lightning Network was there right when you kind of committed to it, were you immediately on board with that? Like, what was your position on that whole fiasco?
Yeah, I have a lot of discussions with my CTO, Akiba, who was my mentor in that in these topics. And and I think what we've realized that eventually, also now that we're doing Lightning, eventually we do want everyone to run a full node. You know, that's our end goal. And if you ask me, mobile devices would be able to run full nodes in a not so distant future. I think it's feasible. I think that's the reality we aim towards. So in that regard, if you take that into consideration, I think I don't think it's the time to increase the block size. So we want, I think it's key, and I think everyone understands that now, that it's very important for everyone to be able to run a full node, and increasing the block size at least currently, with the current bandwidth limitations, it's not realistic.
Yeah, I think the same. And like, I love running a full node. Really is like that kind of critical piece of the puzzle. And it's like, you know, if we ever do get a block size increase, or if it ever like gets, scheduled to be in like a 5-year fork or something like that, I feel like I still am on the board about whether or not it's ever necessary. I think people are coming up with so many clever alternatives to get more into the block space regardless. Like, it might not be needed.
Exactly.
But if it does, like, I feel like once we have full nodes running on mobile wallets and we've got, you know, 1 million, 2 million downloaded on different devices, then it's time to maybe consider it.
I definitely agree. I think we need to take a look at to be able to run full nodes on mobile devices. I think that's the holy grail of a complete sovereign Bitcoin adoption. I think that's the future we need to aim towards.
Gotcha. Yep. That's the key to independence that cannot be challenged, basically. End of story. And I love that. All right. Why don't you give us a rundown of just kind of the Lightning Network in general before we dig into the wallet? And just for the audience that hasn't really done the kind of deep dive into the Lightning Network and channels and that whole concept.
Of course, I would love to. By the way, I have a very couple of good articles about it on our Medium publication, so feel free to read it. One of the most, maybe the most popular article that I've issued is about payment channels. Payment channel is the core artifact of a Lightning Network. In this article, I explained that a payment channel is like an abacus. You know the abacus analogy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great analogy.
So imagine you have an abacus with the beads in it. A payment channel is like one wire of an abacus. When we take a chunk of the of the blockchain, and we commit some bitcoins to be to this wire, and since we are committing a chunk of bits to be passed in this wire between you and I, then we can freely transact and move the bits from one side of the abacus to the other side of the abacus without publishing this information to the blockchain. Meaning, we can transact, we can commit Bitcoin transactions, but it's private transactions. It's between you and I. And we can do it freely as much as we want to pass these Bitcoins between one side of the abacus to the other side of the abacus without publishing this information to the public ledger. And this is called a payment channel, basically. And this payment channel is the basis of the Lightning Network. But now, what is the network, right? It's just between you and I. The network comes when you, for example, open another payment channel with a third party, let's say with Carol. And then you can move the bids in your payment channel between you and Carol can transact and using this bid from one side to the other. Since I'm connected to you and you're connected to Carol, the network effects comes when, because now I can move Bitcoins from my side of the abacus to Carol's. This operation, this process is done in you in the middle, but you have no visibility to the end target of the payment. And this creates a network effect when everyone is connected, can be connected to everyone within the Lightning Network. And then transactions can be done, can be completed off the chain without publishing this information to the blockchain.
That is awesome. That is the abacus is such a good, it's really just a good and such a great visualization of what's going on. Like, cause you kind of imagine like this big group of people and, you know, everybody's got like an abacus between them and someone else as their like channels. And everybody's just sliding, sliding the beads back and forth to move like through these routes in the crowd of people. And it's such an interesting technology. I remember when I first read the white paper, it was the first thing that I had, the first proposition that I had read in Bitcoin that fascinated me as much as Bitcoin did. It was so unique. And the contract was so, like, the way they created a trustless environment where you knew that if I'm moving beads on the abacus between you and I, that you could know without question that I would have to move the ones on the abacus between me and Carol to fulfill your payment to Carol.
Definitely.
And it was just, I feel like I went down a second Lightning Network rabbit hole after I found, you know, years after I found Bitcoin. I'm so happy that this is like finally getting to the point where it's usable. I got to use your wallet, by the way, in the wild at Bitcoin 2019 conference. I used, I messed around with the Lightning Labs wallet and your wallet. And I have to say, the Breeze wallet, succeeded where the Lightning Labs failed. Lightning Labs, both of you had the simplest user experience for getting into, like I just deposited money. And boom, it's in my Lightning wallet, right? And but I tried to pay for a beer at the bar. Granted, Lightning Labs is in alpha. So, and I had just installed it and sent money to it. I've been playing with the Breeze wallet for a little while already. But used it, and I think the payment took like 2 seconds maybe. Cleared right through on the Breeze wallet. And I bought two beers, and then I also played one of those arcade games that they had and worked every time and loved it. I could not believe that I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to set anything up. I didn't have to look at any channels, just straight put some money in it and it works. And I just thought that was great.
That's very cool. I just want to mention, you know, it's not I'm not competing with Lightning Labs and with the Lightning Wallet. We're actually using LND. In our core stack, in our core as part of our core technology. We do differ in some approaches in terms of user experience, but the real competition is against fiat. You know, we're not competing inside the Lightning ecosystem. We all want Lightning to succeed, and we all want you to, when you pay for a beer, we all want for your transaction, for your payment to be successful. That's the goal. We're trying to push the envelope a little bit further. And we have a very unique set of features that differ from the Lightning Lab solution or other solutions out there.
Gotcha. The transaction, the funding transaction. You know, let's hit. So you said you're using L&D. So you're using the same client as the Lightning Labs.
The same library. The same. We have a fork.
Gotcha.
We have a fork of L&D, but eventually the goal is to run the same code as part of the library, the L&D library.
Cool. All right, so now tell me about what a loop in is, because if I understand it, the funding transaction to this wallet is a loop in transaction, correct?
Yeah, well, loop is the name of the Lightning Lab service that does a similar thing to our funding transaction. So let me explain to you how the Breeze wallet works. When you install Breeze, you've mentioned correctly, it's a seedless onboarding experience. Actually, we're trying to push a Lightning-only wallet. Unlike other solutions, we don't want to maintain an on-chain wallet. We want the user to be focused on the Lightning experience alone. So what we do when you install Breeze, we actually open a channel from our hub to the node running on the mobile device, which is a Neutrino-based light node running on your device. And we open a channel automatically immediately after installation from our hub to the node on the device. Now, how do you add funds to this to your side of the channel? How do you add funds to your node without maintaining a Bitcoin wallet?
Okay, hold on one second, yes. Real quick. You said you open a channel immediately after I install the wallet. Is that before I've funded anything?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You automatically open up channel?
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy. Is it a standard size? How much do you contribute to that channel?
So we open a 1 million Satoshi channel currently.
No kidding. Just with every single wallet that
installs, wallet
it's
that
just immediate.
Installed, yes. And I'll tell you why we do that. Because we think inbound liquidity is key to the adoption of Lightning Network. And we want to ensure that when people use and interact with Lightning, they will be able to immediately receive funds. We'll talk about our Connect to Pay feature, but imagine that you want to send some Bitcoin to your friend, and you send them a link. And when they click on this link, I want them to have an experience which is very similar we want to be on par with fiat in that regard, very similar to Venmo, I don't know, Zelle, this type of fiat apps, where users can send money to their friends. So I think it's a blocker for adoption if a user has a wallet installed but he can't receive funds. That's why we switched the paradigm a little bit here, and we decided to fund the channel. The fact that we are funding the channel, by the way, doesn't mean that it's still our money, it's still our funds, but we are deciding, it's a conscientious decision to contribute to what I call the Lightning economy. So in order to and there are other vendors that does it, by the way, I know L&D and Lightning to me, there are several other hubs that create incoming liquid inbound liquidity, and I think it's a good method to bootstrap the Lightning economy. By the way, I call a hub an LSP. That's another term I'm trying to push. An LSP, very similar to an internet ISP. We are a Lightning service provider. And as part of being a Lightning service provider, we provide you with the ability to receive funds immediately after Breeze installation.
Gotcha. Yeah, I love the, after I've read that, I've actually been using the term LSP quite a bit, because I think that's a great way of kind of explaining the position that y'all are in without, except for the fact that what's funny is all the ideas of centralization or privacy loss that you would usually get with an ISP aren't there really with an LSP.
Exactly. It's from a privacy standpoint. It's from a barrier of entry standpoint, because everyone can be an LSP. Everyone that runs a Lightning node can be an ISP. That's not the case with ISPs. And also, everyone can be connected to multiple LSPs, unlike ISPs. Every user can be connected to a multiple service providers in the Lightning network.
Now, if I haven't seen this yet, but I believe I saw in some of your writing or something that this was in the works to be able to connect to basically any LSP that you choose, that there was like going to be an area where you can just like punch in a node or something. Is that right?
Exactly. So we're currently a Breeze in terms of an LSP. It's a proof of concept, because we were able to show and to demonstrate that the LSP concept is viable. And when we can provide a great user experience using this notion of an LSP. But currently, the product is low to Breeze as an LSP. And we don't want it to be the case, because we want to allow people freedom of choice. We don't want a centralized solution. We want a decentralized solution. So we want to open the product and to implement an open architecture where the user can connect to a variety of LSPs and not only to a single LSP. We still want to be an LSP, and we still want to provide a great user experience as an LSP, but we want to open up the product to additional LSPs.
And that's exciting.
To make it very simple for users to connect to a single and even to a multiple LSPs.
Nice. So if I connect to, I know that's going to be something that like the real privacy centered community, but just kind of the technical community is going to be like really excited about. I love that there's actually a little developers tab, the little advanced tab, where you can actually just see the basic commands of LND, because that was actually how I got my details on my channels, because I didn't know how else to view channels, because like it's all hidden. It's all just behind the UX kind of thing.
Yes,
so
yes. It's actually, we kept the developer screens. Well, for one, our developers can't live without it. And also for me, providing support to our users, we need this in the product. But it also to convey the fact that we are completely transparent and for freedom of choice. So you can actually create, and we have users that already done that, even with this ugly command line interface, you can actually connect to other channels using this developer screen, running LNCLI commands.
Nice. Will it actually route? Will the wallet actually route if you have multiple channels?
Yes. Well.
Oh, nice.
Let's get back to the lightning at the end of the tunnel article. The fact that AMP is not implemented yet is a challenge, because you won't be able to use the balance from multiple channel and use it in a single transaction. But yes, definitely the product works with multiple channels already, but it's not in the level of the user experience that we want to provide.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
With on that note, will it only be available like through the advanced tab until you have something like amps, so that like for the standard user, when they see one balance, it will always be one balance?
Well, there's another option of doing like a rebalancing, automatic, what I call automatic rebalancing. But I think, yes, I think that to answer your question, I think if the user sees a single balance, he expects to be able to use the single balance in a single transaction. And until we will be able to implement this functionality, then we won't expose multiple channel we won't push it in the interface, in the common interface.
All right, let's take a break right here and hit our sponsor. And then we will be jumping back in and starting to go into the whole loop in and loop out concept and how the Breeze service takes advantage of this.
Yeah, I think that's probably smart if you're going for just the whole like simplest user experience imaginable, is not open up a new avenue to confuse the user before you've basically already solved it on the back end so that they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I think, again, to repeat what I said before, I think the key is to be able to demonstrate that Lightning can provide an on-par user experience as fiat. And I think if we'll add confusion or complicated interface to the product, I think it defeats the purpose. I think what we did with our initial release, exposing all the complicated stuff in a developer screen, I think we'll still use that. You know, we'll keep this this interface for advanced users, but the product just need to work seamlessly. And if we won't be able to create a product that works seamlessly, then we didn't do our job.
Gotcha. With so loop out, just the whole loop thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just got
so
released.
So after we've established the fact that the LSP creates an inbound channel, then how do you add funds to your channel without a Bitcoin wallet? Because again, we have a seedless experience. We want to push a Lightning only solution. So our solution to this was using Alex Bosworth submarine swaps, and we actually have our own submarine swap service, which is very similar to Lightning Labs loop in, and we might even switch to the Lightning Labs service. But what we do in AdFunds, we actually display a submarine swap address, and advanced users can even download the submarine swaps script. And submarine swaps basically means that we are committed to do an off-chain transaction to the amount that you send in the on-chain transaction to the address that we've displayed in AdFunds. So it's a swap between an on-chain and an off-chain transaction. So all the amount that you send to the submarine swap address that we present to you in AdFunds, we're committed to execute it and to send it to your end of the channel.
Nice. So when it was funny, because I didn't know until just a little bit ago that y'all were actually opening up a channel with the wallet before I sent a loop in channel, or excuse me, before I deposited. And so I wondered if because I deposited the max amount that y'all had, which was the 900,000 Satoshis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious how y'all managed to get, because I immediately went and listed channels in the developer tab or whatever, just to see, and saw that there was a million Satoshi balance in the channel. And I was kind of curious how y'all managed to do a dual balanced or a dual funded channel essentially.
Yeah.
With that loop in transaction. I didn't realize that y'all had already previously opened the channel.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Oh.
But with that, does the because I actually sent it at the exact same time. So I opened my wallet and then just sent money to it.
You actually can do that in parallel in our product. So you can send the ETH fund, the submarine swap transaction, the ETH fund transaction before the channel is open. You can do that while the channel is pending even.
Awesome, because that's what happened to me, and I was wondering exactly how that process played out on your end. Is that you, so it just automatically hits and then y'all just update the funding transaction as it's confirming, I guess, essentially?
Yes.
Or the commitment transaction?
Yes.
The update?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly, exactly. So when the channel is ready, meaning it's in an open state instead of a pending state, And the ETH fund transaction was confirmed, then we send the user a notification to open the app and to complete the off-chain transaction to her end of the channel.
Sweet. Now, if the channel is already confirmed and everything's on, is the submarine swap instant, or does it still require one confirmation of the on-chain transaction that I'm sending to it.
Yes, you need the ETH fund transaction to be confirmed on the chain.
Be confirmed
for us to execute the off-chain transaction. Yeah,
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right, now let's see. Oh yeah, loop out. So now that we covered loop in, loop out is the reverse. So where I would send a regular Bitcoin transaction and then you fund my Lightning channel, loop out is the opposite, where I send money to you guys on the Lightning channel and then you or someone else in the network pays out on-chain Bitcoin. Are you planning on integrating that into the wallet to pay like a normal Bitcoin invoice, or are you sticking it right now to strictly Lightning invoices and wallets and stuff like that?
So, that's a great question. Again, we want to push the Lightning economy. We want to push the Lightning transactions, but we understand there's a need to remove funds. We call it remove funds. Basically, we already have that in the product, the functionality to be able to take Bitcoin from your end of the channel and to transfer it to an on-chain address.
I guess that would be already there. I didn't think about that. Just a simple withdrawal process is pretty much that. So
yes, exactly. But it's not implemented currently. It's not implemented with the loop out service. We do plan to implement it using a loop out service and remove the trust because currently there's trust there. You trust us to make the on-chain transaction. It doesn't use the submarine swap process currently. We want to quickly implement it using loop out service to remove the trust.
Gotcha. Now, do y'all do any batching on the back end? Like, let's say, you have 20 users install your wallet within like a 10-minute period, let's say after they listen to this episode. And so it's like all within one block. Do you guys on the back end, when you're opening channels with those users, do y'all actually batch it all? Or is it right now just they start it up and it activate or automatically makes a transaction on or a channel on y'all's side?
No, yeah, currently there's no batching.
No batching. Okay. All right. Any plans to batch? Is that something that you think at some point you should be concerned about, or do you think right now it's just not a huge issue?
I don't think it's a huge issue at the moment. Channel factories in that regard is interesting to play with, to see if we can, because what's happening right now is that there's a fee on opening this Lightning channels and funding transfer. I'm wondering whether channel factories will help us reduce these fees.
That's interesting. Yeah, I have not yet. Channel factories are such an interesting. They're kind of like a wild card in this whole thing for me because I don't quite know how they'll best be used, like on the kind of the LSP side of things. Yeah. But it just seems like such a crazy. Such an interesting like new dynamic to the whole Lightning network possibilities essentially. So Yeah, that's some really exciting stuff right there.
There's a lot of new innovation, like also state channels are also something that is interesting to see how it plays out. But I think initially what we need to do, we need to open the product to other LSPs. By the way, it can be paid services like the Bit Refill Tor service. It doesn't have to be a free service like Breeze has to offer right now. I want to open up the product to other LSPs and see how it plays out, and to see if we can, if there are bottlenecks. Currently, we have already over 1,000 users, thousands of transactions. There's no bottlenecks in the server.
Wow, that's awesome. So how many users exactly do you roughly?
Over 1,000 active users.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I'm looking right now at the wallet, and I wanted to ask something just because when I made two invoice payments, I've got the little plus and the minus next to it based on whether I'm paying in or paying out. But one of them has a little alien head, like a little icon. I was curious what that was exactly. Is that like a...
That's when you probably pay the Lightning invoice without a description. So the different icons, the plus is...
deposit.
The plus is deposit. The minus is it can be remove funds or a Lightning transaction, but with a description. Probably the unknown is an invoice without a description, a Lightning invoice without a description.
Okay. So that's my little fill in for when we're not sure who's being paid or for what. Exactly. Okay. I see.
Exactly.
All right. I have yet to use it, and I guess that this is something that is just Breeze wallet to Breeze wallet, but that connect to pay button, tell me about what that does.
So the thing with connect to pay and the reason we have connect to pay is the fact, again, that's the third time or the fourth time I'm repeating that. We want to provide user experience that is on par with fiat. And personally, I hate QR codes. I think QR codes... they're the symbol of it's like whenever I see a QR code in a Bitcoin product, I understand, this stuff is still early. It's not ready for mass adoption. It's too technical. So our Connect to Pay is our initial attempt, and we want to improve that in the future, of course. It's our initial attempt to create a Lightning transactions without QR codes.
Interesting. Okay.
So basically, when you do a Connect to Pay, you have like a share that we're using the share infrastructure of the mobile device, and you're able to share a link with somebody. And actually, this link, if the payee clicks the link, then there's a payment session between you two, and then you can easily send funds to the payee using this link. That's the basis of Connect to Pay.
Okay, so it's just basically a replacement for the whole scanning QR code. It's just so that you're just communicating either
it's more than
wirelessly that. Or something like that. Like, it's more than that?
It's more than that, because I think currently the entire experience in Lightning is geared towards point of sales and towards merchant, where you can scan a Lightning invoice. And then the Lightning invoice is being processed because the point of sale node is always online. And when you think about the mobile environment, people running nodes like they do with Breeze or with the Lightning Labs app in their mobile device, most of the time the node is not active. And if the node is not active, they can't send or receive payments because the node is not active. You don't get any CPU from the device if the if the application is not in the foreground, and that's a huge problem. So in terms of user experience, Connect to Pay is like a phone call. It ensures that both users are online and they can transact and they can execute a Lightning transaction.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if you send a Lightning invoice, a QR or like a Bolt 11 invoice to your friend, when your friend will try to process your payment request, most of the time you won't be online. You won't have Breeze active, right? Then the payment will fail.
Okay, gotcha. So if I've closed my wallet after sending an invoice, then you're
fucked.
I can't respond to him. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Now, with that, what can you have happen in the background with an app like this? Will it be able to, like for instance, synchronizing is a good thing. Cause like after like a week of being offline, it didn't take long. I think it took like 12 seconds or something to synchronize because that's a neutrino sync. If I'm understanding correctly, right. I'm getting the block filters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have a background task that, constantly synchronizing the application in the background. You're running on an iPhone or an Android?
iPhone.
By the way?
iPhone.
iPhone. Yeah. Okay. So we have background tasks in both, by the way, and we're even using a mobile notification to trigger the sync.
Okay.
Data notification to trigger the sync. But in iPhone specifically, if the user force close the app, then there won't be a background sync.
Gotcha. Okay. So I have to leave the app open in the background, but then it will stay synced.
Yes.
Okay. I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now
with that, what do you think, what right now is the biggest UX challenge that you guys are running into?
So I think this all payment experience definitely is something that we want. Even the Connect to Pay, which I'm super happy with, because we're trying to push a different UI paradigm out there, mm-hmm. and people are finding it very easy to transact using the Connect to Pay. There are several problems with the Connect to Pay. One, it's Breeze only currently, and I'm trying and I'm speaking with other wallet developers to add Connect to Pay to their solution as well.
That would be really exciting if that something like that could become a standard. That would be really neat. Is real quick question? Is there a RFID like part of that? Like, because it looks like when I'm holding it up and I don't have somebody in front of me, is that a situation where like I can easily find them over like Bluetooth or maybe like RFID holding our phones near each other? Like, what's the actual experience? Because I haven't used it yet.
No. What you do with Connect to Pay, you send a link.
And okay,
the link contains like the secret for the session, and then you can have like a peer-to-peer encrypted end-to-end encryption between you and the payee. That's a Connect to Pay. To answer your question, we will support NFC payments.
Oh, NFC,
where
nice.
You'll be able, yeah, so you will be able to pay someone using NFC.
That's exciting. That's really cool. God, if something like that could become a standard and we could see it in the Lightning Labs wallet and the Zap wallet and stuff, that would be really, really neat.
I agree.
Yeah,
But there's another challenge. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying that's exactly one of those things that will do great for competing with the fiat alternatives, exactly. The Square Cash and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that exists in the fiat solution is that you, unlike Connect to Pay, there's a central authority that orchestrate the payments, you don't need to be online. The payment can happen offline, mm-hmm. With Venmo or this other solutions. So we want to find a solution to orchestrate a payment without burdening the user to be online. Let's say you can send a Lightning payment using Connect to Pay, and when the user is online, we can either send him a notification or can even process the payment using our background tasks. We can do that seamlessly in the background without burdening the user to enter what we call a payment session.
Nice. Okay. With all this, I mean, it sounds like you guys have got a lot of stuff going on the back end. You're opening a channel with 1 million Satoshis for every user, mm-hmm. More than 1,000 now. And you've got, you're running an LSP. So y'all are going to be doing channel balancing and making sure liquidity is available on your side for, you know, routes to make sure that my payments go through, because, you know, I don't have any other channels other than the one with the Breeze tech. So what exactly, it sounds like you're providing a lot of stuff for free. And what exactly is the business model for the long term? Because I've been paying you, it looks like I have a 1 Satoshi fee for each one of my payments. And I can't imagine that pays for all the stuff that you guys have done to make my wallet work.
Correct. That's correct. So the strategic answer is that I honestly believe that Lightning can replace fiat. And if Lightning can replace fiat, then we'll find a way to make money out of it.
Nice. Okay.
Because I truly believe there's an opportunity to provide an alternative economy using Lightning Network. I truly believe that. So, but tactically, we do operate like a company, and Breeze is a company. We want to provide value to our users. Tactically, we've done several things in order to be able to monetize the solution. One of them, I don't know if you've noticed, you have a marketplace inside your app.
Oh, I don't think I did notice this.
So you have a Bit Refill and an Ellen Pizza.
Oh, the grocery cart.
Exposed.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can buy stuff using, we provide an holistic experience. You can buy stuff using Breeze. And we get a commission out of every purchase.
Oh, that's cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And we're working very closely with Bit Refill, which provide a great set of services in that regard. We'll continue to cooperate with them and provide more to extend the offering to our users. And hopefully there will be more Lightning services out there that provide the value for end users. That's one way where we monetize the product. Another way where we monetize the product is when we plan to provide the fiat services. So currently in the ad fund, again, I don't know if you noticed, we have integration with Fast Bitcoins. Fast Bitcoins is a service where you can exchange cash and receive Bitcoin vouchers. So we actually allow you to redeem these Bitcoin vouchers using our product.
Okay, cool. That's nice.
And we also want to provide the credit card integration, so you'll be able to top up the wallet using a credit card. And we want to take a cut out of all these services, external services. I don't think routing fees, will allow us to monetize the product anytime mm-hmm. soon. I don't think it's a long term vision. I think long term there is a huge potential for routing fees, at least if you provide a well balanced and a great SLA to your user. I think you will be able to monetize it in the future, but it's a high volume, low price kind of model. We do plan to offer a point of sale solution.
Okay, that's cool.
So in Q3, actually. We're planning to release a proof of concept of our non-custodial point of sale. And the point of sale will allow us to add more monetization vehicles in our product. Initially, of course, we'll offer it as a free service, but once the service is out of beta, we'll be able to monetize it. I think there's a huge potential in providing a non-custodial service that takes commission out of every transaction, but still it will be considerably lower than what fiat the cut that fiat services take from point of sale.
In fact you mentioned card integration and point of sale. That's you guys are rolling at about 100 miles an hour, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But I saw that there is a card tab in the settings that you can order, activate, mm-hmm. and then lost or stolen. Tell me about the card and where is that available exactly? What's that whole thing?
So the cards is an NFC card mm-hmm. that works with our point of sale. But since we didn't ship our point of sale yet, we didn't ship the cards.
Okay.
But basically it's an NFC, it's an NFC card. It's an NFC chip. You can activate the NFC chip in the product, and then it will allow you to fulfill a payment with our point of sale. Basically, all it does, it maps the user device to the chip.
Mm-hmm.
The point of sale reads the NFC information, and it sends, through our server, it sends a mobile notification to the user device. Then the user can fulfill the payment from the mobile wallet.
Okay, cool. Okay, so basically,
again, no QR. Instead of scanning a QR code, you can give the card to your kids, or you can give the cards to the waitress, and then she can buy stuff and she can complete the transaction. You'll get a notification on your mobile device, and then you authorize the payment and you complete the payment through the wallet.
Sweet. Okay. So that's basically a workaround to the whole scan a QR or even the connect to pay. It's like a simpler version of that. Is there, mm-hmm. they're basically scanning enough information in order to send you a notification to just make it go click yes. Essentially the receipt version, like after, you know, you scan your card at a restaurant or whatever, they come back, get you to sign it and, you know, put a tip or whatever. And that's basically what you're doing. It's just the digital version of it. You get a notification, exactly. You say, yes, that's awesome. Exactly. That's awesome. Okay.
Exactly. You'll be able to do that with your device as well. Mm-hmm. So the NFC will work device to device, user device to user device, user device to point of sale device. But we also offer a card for these other use cases where you can't use your own device.
Interesting. Okay. On that note, since we're talking, you're getting into a point of sale here. I know this is non-custodial, which is actually pretty amazing that you managed to pull all of this off and actually offer these things as a service without really ever being in control of anyone's keys. That kind of blows my mind that Lightning just has that capability. For somebody who knows how to build it. But with that, what do you expect? Do you expect any kind of regulatory hurdles? Do you think, you know, that's going to be an issue coming forward? I know I don't really know the environment in Israel where you're from, but I know the US is just anything that looks like a payment option or system, you know, it's kind of like walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, like we're going to regulate it like a duck. So what do you think? Do you expect any problems? And what's your strategy going forward?
Well, yeah, great question. But yes, I expect problems. The fact that we have a non-custodial solution actually is a design principle of ours. I think it's only worth building if you can build it in a non-custodial, in a truly peer-to-peer fashion. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that in order to overcome any regulatory challenges or stuff like that. But I think it also doing the right thing has benefits. And in that regard, I think our solution has huge benefits because it doesn't, the way I read, I don't know if you talked about it in your show, but FinCEN issued an update to their recommendation on what is considered as a money transmitter, mm-hmm. And so I think the way I read the FinCEN recommendation is that if I can't access your funds, if I can't access the user funds, then I am not required to meet the money transmitter license. So I think only a non-custodial solution won't be required to meet these regulatory standards.
Nice. So just, you know, as long as you make sure that you build it so you don't have control over my funds, you have nothing to worry about. That's awesome. I like good.
That's the way I see it. I know it's oversimplification of the reality. I'm sure there will be people that would say that a Lightning Network node is a money transmitter, but there's a lot of FUD and a lot of noise currently because people don't understand how it actually works. I think by the end of the day, if it's a truly peer-to-peer solution, then we'll be okay.
Nice. Yeah. And it's also it's certainly also the way to get the hardcore Bitcoin OGs to jump behind you when they know that everything's non-custodial because everybody's a stickler for that. And I know that's always a huge point with me. I like some of the custodial wallets like what is it, Satoshi Wallet and like Blue Wallet, but
yeah, they're very nice. From a user experience standpoint, mm-hmm. the Wallet of Satoshi and Blue Wallet are doing a great job. But to be honest with you, Guy, I don't understand the value of providing a custodial Bitcoin solution.
Yeah.
Because if it's a custodial Bitcoin solution, A, it's not Bitcoin. B, there are simpler solutions than that. You can call it fiat.
Yeah, you can call it fiat. And the other thing is that like when you're looking at it in that context, it's like they're using Lightning, but it's like at the same time, it's almost like why? Are they using Lightning? You know, like if it's custodial,
exactly.
Like, aren't they just kind of giving themselves like a kind of an annoyance, like an unneeded problem or set of challenges to work on without giving the benefit of non-custodial?
Exactly.
It's very interesting.
Bitcoin. I have another article on that. Bitcoin is peer-to-peer, or it's not Bitcoin. Or it's nothing. Take a look at the Cash App that added the Bitcoin send and receive integration just recently. You know, it's far better than anyone can any other solution that a small company can create, right? It's been backed by Jack Dorsey. They will be able to meet all their regulatory environment regulations. But it's a custodial solution. So who the fuck cares?
On that note, I believe you said it earlier, but I'm not sure if you were mentioning or talking to me specifically. Do you mind if I read another one of your articles on the show in the future, particularly the Bitcoin is peer-to-peer or it is nothing? I actually did read that one, and I do like that article. I was considering reading that one aloud on the show.
Of course, yeah.
Awesome.
That's the reason for me writing this article is for to get this to spread the word out and to educate people about Bitcoin.
Excellent.
I think to crystallize one point, the uh-huh. fact that peer to peer is not it's I don't know some people will say you know they will take a look at me and they say you know it's a Bitcoin purist, a Bitcoin maximalist, whatever. I don't think it's the right description of what we're trying to do. We're trying to provide people freedom of choice, and freedom of choice leads to a better solution, because when people have control over their own money, then they don't have to pay any centralized entity or intermediate organization and to give them a chunk of their money in order to process the transaction. I think only when money is moved peer to peer, then it's a low-cost transaction. And that's the essence behind Bitcoin, and that's the essence behind Lightning Network.
Nice. No third parties,
yeah. No intermediates. That's the key.
That's the key, is get trusted third parties or security holes. Let's get rid of them. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Not only security, but they're taking your money for nothing, for doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. With that, what's kind of the future of Breeze? I mean, you've got a marketplace here. It's got BitRefill currently. And do y'all have big plans from the marketplace, and you've got a point of sales coming? Why don't you give me an overview of, like, maybe what you see, like, what are the whole sequence of plans you got that you want to share with people for the next couple of years?
Sure. So the first phase is to provide a proof of concept for a functional platform. That's the phase we are right now. We have great users providing us really valuable feedback. We're going to improve the product based on their feedback. For example, we're going to add support for fiat currencies as a secondary currency. We have a list of features lined up to improve the client. That's one thing. The other thing is we want to open the platform to other LSPs, and we want to support multiple LSPs. That's phase two, where we're becoming like an LSP platform. Phase three is to interact with the actual commerce, with the reality, meaning is to change, is to make people switch from fiat economy to a Lightning economy. And the way we're going to do that is by providing point of sale solution, and maybe ultimately work with point of sale integrators and payment processors in order to embed this solution in existing systems. But also to work with exchanges and in order to be able for users to interact between fiat to Bitcoin easily. Meaning to add funds to your wallet from fiat easily, and to remove funds from Bitcoin to fiat more easily for users and for point of sales. And of course, expanding the marketplace and providing more and more services, real world services to our users.
Nice. The marketplace, I kind of find it funny that I had not even actually seen that in the, because the button is like right there at the top. but that's kind of neat. I'm actually going to play around with that. I might try to buy a game on Blizzard or Steam or something like that, just to play around with it, just to see how it behaves in live, I guess you could say, in the real world.
What would you like to see in the product?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm still playing with everything that it's already got. I'm curious about the connect to pay. I wonder if you could make something like that into, would that work for like a Bolt, like to try to push it as just like a standard, or is that not really, is the Bolt more of a strict?
Maybe it's a third layer app.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I guess that.
So I think it's another layer on top of Lightning Network. I started discussion. I had a conversation with Jack Mueller from Zap last week about trying to push it. We'll continue the discussions. I think we need to do some work in improving the user experience of Connect to Pay. Like I've mentioned before, you know, I imagine something like a chat-based interface where users can just send payments or request payments using like a chat-based interface and the processing is done offline. Maybe something like the HODL invoice, but the other way around, where you can send payment and some node can process, can understand when the client is online, then it can route the payment to the end user.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's actually something that that's definitely something that I would be interested in seeing in a wallet like this. something that like I would use regularly is like particularly if everybody's got like their private and public key for Lightning in this Breeze wallet, I would love to see like a contact list of somebody of the people that I usually send money back and forth between, you know, my close friends and stuff. And then like you were talking about with that chat interface is actually having like an end-to-end encrypted chat with maybe even if it makes sense, like from a technical side, the private and public keys of our actual Lightning wallets that we're signing transactions with, so that like it's standalone inside the app. And maybe we're using, I don't know, maybe you could send the messages over the Lightning network or just use you as like a route, you know, from one node to the next. But something like that, I've always wanted a platform that had encrypted chat, a contact list so I can like talk with my friends and stuff, and then send payments back and forth. Like, I feel like that's a lot of the ones that are missing is like Venmo and Square Cash and stuff. I would like to be able to send messages and have a conversation right in the app where I'm sending the payment.
Yeah, I agree. I think currently Lightning Network is not built for messaging, but I think it can be improved. No, you can do that. It's kind of a hack where you can add messages, but there's not a lot of space. So it's not really built from an infrastructure standpoint to messaging. I think it can be evolved to be a messaging platform, and I think it can provide the service of payments and messaging united in a consolidated interface. But I want to do that. I want to be able to deliver that on a stable infrastructure. That's one. And second, and not to be an intermediate, meaning I want it to be a truly peer-to-peer solution without saving information, you know, your mobile number, your device ID, and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
So it has to be completely peer-to-peer encrypted without me as a Breeze service holding any information on you.
Sweet. That's awesome. Well,
that's the vision, though. What you've described, that's part of our vision.
That's exciting. I have been so happy to see these wallets hit on iOS, because I felt like what, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, there was basically nothing, and now I've got three of these that I'm playing around with and getting to experiment with and use in the wild, and it's just so exciting to see Lightning reach this point where it really is just that easy to use.
It's usable and it's, you know, we have over 98% of successful transactions.
Ooh, that's beautiful. That's amazing.
That's because we have if it's a Breeze to Breeze, like two Breeze users, then it's a 100. That's a 100% success rate because it's all being routed through our hub. But we also managed to get a 98% success rate because we have a well-managed LSP service.
That's exciting.
So I think it works. You know, I'm getting a lot of shit from Bitcoin Cash people on Twitter and stuff like that. You know, just try it. You see that it works. I'm not saying, you know, everything works. I'm not saying we're there yet. But you see the amazing progress that the ecosystem has made in the past year. And it's truly an amazing progress, both from an infrastructure standpoint, but also from a user experience standpoint with solutions like Breeze.
Yeah, I think if you're boasting a 98% success rate at this point, when the wallet is in beta, when we still have so many things coming down the pipeline to make Lightning is in beta. When the protocol is in beta, the app is in beta, when everything is still at this early of a stage, I think if you can pull off 98% right now, I can't see how when all this new technology hits that number does not squeeze the gap to 100% in a ridiculous fashion. So
I think in 2 years' time we'll talk about the next nine, you know, like the 99.999. We'll talk about the fourth nine in 2 years.
Love it. 99.999%. That's what we're aiming for. I like it. Yeah. All right, man. Is there anything else you want to say here at the end? Shills, your tag. Everybody's got to follow Breeze. Why don't you drop some final thoughts before we close this one out?
I'm here for you guys. Anything you need, you know, hit me up on Twitter, or we have a Telegram group. We want to improve the product. We want to provide the best product that we can. As we've discussed, I think you asked all the right questions and you hit all the major topics. We have a lot on our plate, but we can't do that without you guys helping us pushing the solution forward.
That's awesome. Dude, Roy, thank you so much for coming on the show. We will probably have to get you back on when we're talking about that fourth and fifth nine in your wallet, and we get the point of sale and the card and all that.
Hopefully sooner. Hopefully sooner, guy.
Okay. Sounds good, man. Dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. I had a blast.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take it easy.
And there we have it. That was Roy Scheinfeld of Breeze Technology. Their Twitter tag is BREEZ, just so you know, there is no last E on that one. It's BREEZ underscore tech on Twitter. And again, in the show notes and also in the Twitter post, I will be linking to their Telegram, to the main wallet, as well as their page, and tagging them in the post. So you can follow them on all those different places. Join the Telegram, get in the conversation, use the wallet, test it out, see what you think about it. Drop in like what features you would like to see with it. Like if you have any problems, let them know. Like join the community in this thing. I think this is going to be a really, really awesome tool. And I think these guys are so much aligned with the real vision of Bitcoin and what Lightning Network could be. And it's just really exciting to see the work that they are putting into this. So definitely support what they are doing. You will find all of those links in both the Twitter page and the show notes. So thank you guys again for listening. This is the Crypto Economy Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can find me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy if you're looking for those links and the handles as well. So don't forget to follow me up there. Thank you guys. I love you guys. This is why I do this, and it's just so much fun. I will be back here tomorrow with another episode. If you know anybody who is looking to see what the meaning of Bitcoin is, who's looking down the rabbit hole and is just so curious about what that next step might bring them, send them over here. That's why I'm here. I'm Guy Swan. And the Crypto Economy Podcast is just for them to dive deeper into this project, into this new economy that we're building. And there is so much more to come. So stick with me. And until next time, take it easy, guys.